Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above. Hopefully, everybody is doing well today. It's kind of an exciting day today because we have later this evening Mercury finally moving out of Cancer and into the sign of Leo. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready for a little more confidence, fun, optimism, playfulness. And hopefully Mercury can deliver that for us over these next few days. And of course, any change in the astrological landscape also comes with the very positive expression and the more negative expression of it. So we'll want to look at what all of that is about. As well, today the moon is still transiting through the sign of Aquarius and will be in the void a little bit later. So we are finishing up that transit and preparing for what comes next. Piscean energy. And as well today, we have a couple of other transits going on, Mars squaring Jupiter, which at first blush sounds like, oh no, but also Venus in a quincunx to Saturn, also an oh no, but not so bad when we break it down and we really look at what's happening. And as well, we'll take a look at our Pleiadian Earth energy today, which is five listening energy. So thus the reason I named the show this morning something about listening. And that's because the theme begins to change as we move into tomorrow. We'll talk maybe more about that tomorrow, maybe a little bit today, about the next week's human design energy, which includes the gate 13, the gate of listening. And we're not just talking about using your ears to hear, but listening with all of your being to what is happening, both to with interpersonal dimensions, but also the intrapersonal and your spiritual listening as well. So a lot of listening going on as we move into the next couple of weeks. So if you're just joining me, I have to backtrack something that occurred yesterday during the show because I am ready and willing to take responsibility for my own actions and my own words spoken. So I want to give Tom Wright an apology for yesterday. It appears that he and I had a major misinformation thing going on. We totally misunderstood each other. I saw what he wrote and took it as him spouting conspiracy theories. He heard what I said about population control or the population decrease, and he thought that I was talking about eugenics and supporting it, which I never would. I don't even believe that that's necessarily a process that's happening. But it sparked something in me that I think is worth sharing for all of us. One, it is always my responsibility for what happens here on the in the morning show, both my own words and how they are heard by other people, right? Other people are listening. You are all listening to what I'm saying, which means that I have a responsibility to make sure that what I'm saying is being understood. And I kind of threw out that idea of the population change with human beings sort of off the cuff. It came up because I saw headlines in the news, and I always like to share headlines that match the energetic stream that is occurring with astrology, human design, and the gene keys. But I did kind of throw that out there, and I kind of left that dangling with no real explanation. Well, part of that is this is a bigger story than just population changes. This is all about the solar plexus mutation that is occurring within us, and it really deserves a bigger forum for that explanation. So let me just say this. The population is slated to be decreased by 50%, but no one says that happens tomorrow. No one said that that happened be in the next 7 years even, but over the course of time, population forces will go down through for human beings, whether that's through our own choice and how we reproduce, whether that's through death via some kind of pandemic or, you know, flu or virus, or whether there's some other key thing that goes on that we don't understand. What if we decided that one third of the population needed to go live on Mars? I mean, I don't know, right? This is the key, that it is something that will occur, but we don't know how it's going to occur. I don't believe that it's going to be something that's drastic and happens overnight. That certainly was maybe what some people thought when I said that. So I really trust that this is corrected now, that hopefully everybody understands that over the course of time, human population will decrease through many different reasons, maybe even fertility issues, right? We don't know. We just know what the forces are of evolution that are being enacted here on the planet. So that's cleaned up. On the other hand, it also brings up to me, for me, and this is how I encourage all of you in any personal dynamics that you have with anybody in your world to work with this. I have to sit and wonder about my own sensitivity to the whole idea of these theories that are out there and other people presenting them, and my own gut reaction. I'm not responding. This is reactionary on my part when somebody brings that up or sends me a video or sends me, you know, this article or something. My reaction is, oh no, right? No, I'm pushing it away. I'm resisting that idea that there's something going on here that's other than what mainstream says. And I'm not necessarily all in with mainstream either. I sort of sense that there's something more to the picture. But in my mind, what I've been trying to do is leave that all out there behind the scenes so that I'm not energizing it for manifesting any more than I have to, right? So unfortunately, what you resist persists. So I'm in my pushing it away, I'm actually magnetizing it. So I have learned my own lesson here. And this is exactly how we become more response able in our own lives, right? So I encourage all of you, if you have your own issues that you're dealing with in your life, be willing to look at it, be willing to call yourself out on your own stuff and see it for what it really is. Really, in me, there's this little bit of a niggling fear that the world is going to go the way of the conspiracy theories, or it is going to go the way of the uglies, and that somehow we aren't able to enact the future that we want. That's my fear, right? That's my fear. And it has been pervading everything else in the way I look at things. So I get to clean that up. Right? I get to look at that. I get to fix that in my own field and be embracing of all that is while focusing my intention on what I prefer to see as the manifestation. I hope that's understandable for everybody. Let me just check in and say good morning here. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, good morning. J-Lo, hello. Rueda, hello to you. And Rueda, check your email because I did correct your chart for you and sent that back. Amy, good morning. Mimi, hello. Elisa, good morning. Jennifer, good morning. Allison D, how was your first day back at work yesterday? We're dying to know. And Destiny Clark, good morning. Kimberly, Jackie, and Puffing Pixie, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Rueda. All right, so let's go on to what it is that we can expect from the day today. So moon in Aquarius, we love the moon in Aquarius. It brings us opportunities to interact with the new, to elevate our thinking beyond the box that we call our, you know, usual belief system. And that is indeed in a process of closing out as we get into the day. We'll move into the void at 2:45 p.m. my time, West Coast time of the U.S., and until 7:28 p.m. So if you are on the West Coast, then it's probably a good idea to get your things done that you need to. Anything that you need to start before that 2:45 p.m. time, because then the moon goes into the void. And during the void, of course, things that we begin really have no feet, no traction, can't really gain any kind of ability to move forward. So get it done early. For those of you on the East Coast and beyond, that will happen late enough in the day, even into the overnight area, that it likely won't be very effective. So when we get up tomorrow, and we're later in the evening here for us, we'll be in the sign of Pisces, and Piscean energy, more imaginative, more creative, very compassionate, loving, kind, and generous. Also a little bit delusional, and we'll talk more about that likely tomorrow. Today, there is only one aspect of major importance from the moon. We have a couple of other ones that are going on in other planets, but from the moon, and that happens to be a trine to Venus. Now, if you look at Venus, she is now almost conjunct the North Node. She's at 27 degrees of Gemini. The North Node is at 28 degrees of Gemini. So 27 and 28. So they're moving together. And in her trine with the moon today, there's a bit of, there's a touch of destiny here in the way that these two planets are interacting. One, a luminary, bringing us to the soul level, bringing us toward timing and the right timing. And the other one, bringing us love in our relationships, in our finances, and how we interact with beauty and harmony and peace on the planet. So today, with Venus in a trine to the moon, moon in Aquarius is an air sign, fixed air. Gemini is also air. So when we have connections between planets in the same element, then they become trines. And that means there's an ease and a flow of the energy between the two. And it's not so much that they create a path, maybe it is that they create a pathway to the ease of expression of the energies between them. And with this one, it's about knowing what you want, what you are willing to do to get there, and be willing to then go out and get it, right? To take the steps that you need in order to get to where you want to go in all areas of your life, but specifically between Gemini and Aquarius, right? So if you looked at the chart for right, if you looked at your own astrology chart, what you would see is the look for where Gemini is and look for where Aquarius is. And this is where there might be a nice flow of energies going back and forth through the houses that each of them are in. And that's going to be different for every one of you, right? The setup. So in my chart, Gemini sits at the beginning of the 11th house, although now at the 28th and 27th degree, that puts it in my 12th house, dealing with the shadow. Ooh, I perfectly did that this morning. Didn't even realize that. And the sign Aquarius then is on my 8th house, a transformation or change. So we have that going on in our charts. It can also be a lucky break, right? Something lucky that through timing, being in the right place with the right people at the right time, and everything turns out perfectly for whatever it is that you're working with. It is also a time for sharing your goals and getting others on board to support you in those goals. Just saying that reminds me of a scene from the movie Eat, Pray, and Love. She and a friend are in a car going someplace, and the woman that's driving, which I think is the person that's narrating the book, it's her story. She is trying to make something happen. I think she's trying to attract her love interest. And I can't remember all the details, but the other person, the woman in the car with her, says, "I can get on board with that. Who else would be on board with you being able to have what you desire?" And they go down this list. I mean, Oprah Winfrey, she would sign up for you to be that, to have that. My father, he would sign up for that for you. And would they go on and on with this? So today, in a way, is about looking for the people that would support you in your dream or in bringing about your vision or your heart's desire. But it all begins, of course, with you knowing what you want, right? And that's the thing, right? The timing is now to know what you want and be willing to go for it, and then also enlist the support of other people, right? Maybe your family, maybe it's your community, maybe it's even further out, right? And how interesting that today here in Washington, I'm not sure if it's the same way in other states, but today's our election day, right? We're the primaries for our governor, some of the state representatives, and that type of thing. So interesting that we're signing up behind somebody. We're throwing our weight behind somebody. So what are you willing to throw your own weight behind? And who are you willing to ask to help support you in that endeavor? That's what we have. And it's the only aspect today. So even when the moon turns into the void later on this afternoon, that's the aspect that we're left with. So this is maybe something that you can contemplate for the day. Consider what it is that you really desire and who would really support you in that, in creation of that. All right. So going back over here, good morning, Loanne and Adrienne. Great to see you. Allison, it says it was creepy. Very few people on the street and only 10 people out of 150 people were in my office. I will work from home. LOL. Sounds like a lot of people. And that's in New York City, right? So that's amazing to me. And think about the impact that this virus has had on things that we don't just see. Like, we know the impact on the people, but what about the environment? What about the sound, your ears, and what are you willing, what can you hear now that you might not have heard before? So fun to think about. I remember when we were on the stay home order, I was taking walks every day, and it was amazing how many nuanced type of sounds I heard. The rustling of the grass when the wind blew, possibly little, you know, snakes or critters walking through the grass, the sound of the birds, and just the wind in the trees. It was amazing to be able to experience that, because usually there's so much sound from the cars going by and people talking and all that. It just was amazing. J-Lo, I have Venus, my ascendant there, woohoo. So this might bode well for you. What are you willing to create? And Amy, Moon in Aquarius is in my sixth and Gemini in my ninth. Wow, expanding your vision for the work that it is that you do, Amy. I love that. Ursula, good morning. Jackie says the moon is in my sixth house and Gemini is in her 10th. So expanding your thoughts around your profession or the career choices that you have, and where is it that you're going to do that work? And Allison said, yes, New York City, plenty of cars though, people running around. So an interesting thing here. Good morning to anybody that I've missed in that role. Let's go on and talk a little bit about the other transits for the day, because we have, you know, three bigger sorts of transits happening. One is, let's see, can I do it by time? No, because I didn't write the times down. So I'm going to do it in the order in which I wrote them this morning. And the first one that I'm most excited about was Mercury moving into Leo. That actually doesn't happen. It's the only one I wrote the timestamp on. And that's happening at 8:32 p.m. for me this evening. That means 11:32 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. And for those of you that are in Europe and further east than that, it will be tomorrow that this occurs for you. Now, Mercury has been in the sign of Cancer since since May 27th, I believe it was, somewhere late May. And so we've had this extended period all of June, all of July, and even these first couple of days of August and the last few days of May, where we've had a lot of the thinking and speaking that we do becoming very emotional. It was connected very much to our emotions. And it was also a time where we may have been very protective of what we said or of the actions that we were taking. We went through three eclipses during that period of time with Mercury in a retrograde in that same sign, moving forward, then backward, and then forward again over the same spots in your chart. So there should be some relief, I think, for everybody now that we can move out of the thinking and speaking of the emotions and the movement into the more playful but yet drama-oriented Leo energy. So confident thinking and confident speaking, all a part of this move from Cancer into Gemini. I'm Cancer into Leo, excuse me, that this is a sign that loves the drama, that loves storytelling, that loves the play of life, loves love and romance. And I think it really elevates the mood of everyone over the next, it's only in here for about 15 days, right? He's picked up speed now. So he's zipping through things, not slowing down, going backwards and all of that. So we have about 15 days of this sort of feel-good energy of being confident. We are more convincing. If we have to enlist people's help to get on our side to do something, to support our events or to support our work or to support just whatever it is in that you're doing, we are more convincing because we're more confident. And it comes through our posture, it comes through our word choice, and people pick it up and they listen to us. And that's a reminder. You're going to hear me say listen several times here today because these transits are talking to us about listening, not just the ear kind of hearing, but really listening to what it is that's being said, to what it is that isn't being said. Listening from the heart, from the soul, not just from the ears, the organs on your face. It is really deeper listening energy. And this is a sign, Mercury moving through Leo can really trigger our creative expression, the thing, ideas generating about our, it's one of the more self-expressive, in fact, it is probably the most self-expressive signs. So we are really invested in what it is that we're creating and what we want to bring out in the world. Unfortunately, a lot of times that just sits up in your mind, right? It doesn't often get the feet, the legs, the boots on the ground. So we'll have to work a little bit extra to get the real things out of us, our real desires, our real imaginations, our real creations out of us and out into the world. So we, because we tend to think in broad strokes during a period of time like this, we may miss the little details, the things that we should have, could have, would have watched for, so that the product or whatever we put out was perfect and in a match to our vision of what it could be. So watch for being too broad stroked and not enough of the details. So we're going to have to work to do both, but we're also going to have to work a little harder to bring things out. So there's a real playful side here. This is a time maybe for taking a break, taking a vacation, going for a swim, doing things that are very summery feeling. If you're in the southern hemisphere, of course, it's dead winter for you. So you might want to do some comforting things creatively that you can do in your home where you're nice and cozy and warm. For us in the northern hemisphere, it's a little more bringing it out into the world, just plays out differently based on the geographic location. So being more confident, being more willing to share, make sure then your story that you're telling is one that you really back, that you really believe in, that you really want of a creation. It brings us to that thinking about what it is that we're saying before we say it. And being very willing to creatively express ourselves, to add our individuality and our flair out into the world in our speaking, in our writing, and in our interaction with one another for these next 15 days. Literally, that's what, about 3 weeks, two weeks in a day. So we have some work to do, but it will feel a whole lot more fun, a whole lot lighter during that period of time. And really a good thought for us to think forward to is that what comes after Mercury in Leo is Mercury in Virgo. So if you have, at least if you get the broad stroke plan, but you haven't enacted it yet, when Mercury moves into Virgo, we get more of that traction. We get more of the ability to see those details. So maybe it is best right now to draw up the big plan, but not necessarily put it out there yet until we have some Virgo energy with us to help us get to those details, to perfect it, to finesse it, right? So in the meantime, though, don't stop yourself from being creative, right? The creative juices are flowing. Now, as well today, we have Mars, the biggest probably aspect of the day is Mars in a square to Jupiter. But even that, if we look at it through the filter of Mars and conflict, it can be an overblown conflict with someone. It can be an overblown situation and where we've overdone it, right? We've said too much, we've gone too far. Without even thinking, we got drawn into a conflict or a confrontation. So we don't want to do that today. So we want to be very measured in how it is we get drawn into things or what it is that we get drawn into. We can jump in too fast, right? We can overstate things. Anytime Jupiter is in any kind of square with an inner planet, personally, we may take things too far. We may overdo it. We may overeat, overexercise. I certainly did that on Saturday. I really shouldn't have walked 5 miles, but I did. And my feet paid for that. But I did it and I felt really good afterwards, except for the blisters on the back of my feet. Now, don't do too much. Don't go too far. Don't enter into conflicts. Don't create conflicts if you can help it. But entertain the new, right? Entertain any new ideas, you know, play with them and, you know, see if you can expand them outward and what might they be creating for you, a new pathway to something, a new way to do something. Be sure you don't get tunnel vision, right? Well, this is a little more expansive energy, and I don't want you to, you know, fear that you're getting too far, too fast, too big, and then create tunnel vision, right? That would be the reverberation of that. That would be the rebound of that energy of too wide would be too narrow. So somewhere in the middle is just right. So we're excitable. We're easily riled up with an energy like this, and that can be positively expressed or it can become negatively expressed. And the best way that I know of to tell everybody to deal with this energy is to use your type, your strategy, and your authority in making the best decisions for you, right? Coming to a point where you are making the best decisions for you. And that includes timing, right? Being in the right place at the right time, right people, right opportunity. It is the right opportunity, which is also based on the right time, the right place, the right people, and on, right? And type, strategy, authority gets you to that place. Now, we also have a minor scritchy little thing going on in the behind the scenes that is Venus in an inconjunct or a quincunx to Saturn. Now, Venus and Saturn are, this is about relationships, and this is about where we may be torn. So remember, we talked about the moon in Aquarius today and trying with Venus, looking for what we want. What are we desiring, and then being willing to go and get it. And then we have Mars squaring Jupiter, where it is, okay, be careful, don't go too far too fast. And here it is, Venus and Saturn in this inconjunct coming together, where we may be torn between two courses of action. And we have to adjust and sacrifice and readjust and sacrifice and readjust some more. We have to be very adaptable. We have to be flexible. We have to be willing to go with the flow, because we are torn between what feels good and what feels like is pleasurable to us versus what our responsibilities are. And I know this came up yesterday for me. It's always funny when things come up a day ahead of time, because this wasn't really in effect till today. But as I always say, you can feel these transits coming. Then there's the day or so that they're inactive. And then there's the day they move on, or the time that they're moving away, and we're still feeling the results or the energies. And I was torn between wanting to work on an art project and having to actually go into town and do some grocery shopping because I didn't get it done over the weekend. And I'm like, should I just toss it out and do it another day? No, because my husband specifically said he needed cream for his coffee. And I'm like, I'm going to town, right? I'm going to go do this. But then it freed up my afternoon to really work on the project that I wanted to work on. So torn between pleasure and responsibility, you have to do what you have to do, but then you feel so much better than when you get to do what you wanted to do. So weighing those things, it's like a dilemma that we might be presented with. Now that was a minor dilemma, right? And quincunx with Venus and Saturn, this might be really minor, but it could also be bigger issues in your life. So it's not easily solved, right? You have to go kind of move with that flow, weighing the costs, weighing the cost benefit, doing a cost benefit analysis, if you will, on what these energies are bringing up for you. And in your relationships, maybe, you know, you really want to say what's on your mind, but your heart's going, no, not now. That, you know, that person's vulnerable right now. Let's not beat them like that when they're down. And so, right? Quincunxes, who needs them, right? They're just often a source of that inner tension. It can even be a little bit of an anxiety that it triggers within us, but it's all about our being more willing to be adaptable. And here's the hard part about that. If you look at the orientation of all of the planets in terms of their element and the mode through which they operate, we have very little. Let's see if I can show this to you. A graphic is always good. So let me see if I can bring it up. There's that. And I'm going to share my screen. Share that one. Okay, so now you should be seeing my screen. This is the chart of the moment, the one I draw up in the morning that I then fill in with all kinds of information to share. And right here, if you look at this grid, this is a grid that shows you where the elements are sitting and what mode they're operating in. So we have fire, air, earth, and water, and we have cardinal, fixed, and mutable. So cardinal is initiation energy. It's moving forward, right? It's moving outward. It starts things. Then we have fixed energy that stays the course. And then we have mutable, which is the adaptable, flexible, versatile kind of energy. And as you look at this dynamic, what jumps out? Well, first of all, the lack of air, the lack of water, the overabundance of earth and the overabundance of fire, and very few pieces in mutable signs. So we are fixed or rigid in the way we are looking at the world or doing our lives. And we are also, or we are initiating. So we have this sort of dichotomy, what would you call this, even a duality here between staying and not moving, or jumping out and going in a new direction, but very little mutable energy to help us merge through and make changes and go with that flow. So we have to almost enact that mutability for ourselves. I mean, on one hand, fixed signs help us stay the course, right? It helps us with endurance and perseverance. Cardinal signs help us move out there and change things in terms of, not being afraid to start something new. But the mutable helps us when the cardinal initiation needs to take on a new direction, or when the fixed needs to be kicked off the position that they're in. And that's where we're weakest right now. So you can see how that might be setting up in your own life, in your own chart even. You can look at this. Another thing I like to do, and I don't know where I got this from, because I think I just started counting them on my own. I count across at each number of planets or spots that are in fire, air, earth, and water. And then I see which column here has the most. And if it's, let's see here, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fire, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in earth. So we have an earth flare here. And then that means 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in cardinal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So we have cardinal earth that is holding the filter for us right now. And that's Capricorn, right? That's Capricorn energy. So we are very Capricorn-y. That means we are still very much in that destruction, reconstruction mode. We're still very much watching our institutions and the things that we've taken for granted in our lives crumbling right before our very eyes, right in our very life, and wondering, hoping, and getting ready for what will be built in its place. Because we do, right? So a building falls, it's because we're likely getting ready to build something new. If it falls because of an earthquake, we rebuild it. So we are very good workers. So whatever is crumbling will be rebuilt. And right now we are just sitting right between what is it that we want to create? What do we want to move toward versus sticking with the old way of doing things? So you can sort of see how that plays out everywhere in the world. Today's Pleiadian Earth energy, I'll go into it in just a moment. Let me go back to comments and see if anybody has questions. Kathy Vick, hello. Thanks for explaining the Venus-Saturn quincunx. I've got that. My Saturn is conjunct Jupiter, which is the focal point of a yod, always tickling my Venus. Ah, so what's at the base of the yod? That's where you find the foundation, while the nozzle is where the release is from that foundation. So the nozzle part we know is then the focal point is the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction. And that means I have this going on in my own chart. Saturn and Jupiter are conjunct, but in an out of sign conjunction, my Jupiter's in Aquarius and my Saturn at the last second to the last degree, 28th degree of a Capricorn. So they're close enough that they're pulling me into this focal point. And that is about controlled growth. Conservative growth. So your life, whatever house that's pointed at, is where you need to really be conservative in what you do. But you also want to have that from those boundaries, from the acceptance of certain limits, the ability to grow in a specific direction. It's like you're being forced through the eye of a needle, if you will, in whatever is about that part of your chart. So Susan, hey, nice to see you out there. Made it but late. Hey, you can always listen later. JLo says, wow, it's crazy. I was going to have a serious conversation today and now I'm like, maybe I should wait after listening. Listening is always good. Allison, everyone have a great day. You too, sweetie. And Kathy, fifth house of fun. Oh, so, I mean, of all the houses it could be pointed at, this one's fairly easy to determine what you must do. And that is to give enough energy toward fun and play and romance and pleasure and enough time to work. And too much work makes Kathy a dull girl. Too much play means she's being irresponsible. So you're always being forced to mediate those two, right? And your creative energies. And so I always find quincunxes seem to pull us in two different directions where that dilemma shows up for us. And in your natal chart, those quincunxes are going to play out all over the place. So you might be always having to work through that part of you that wants to play, have fun, be creative, and the other voice for reason that might be saying, well, you've got work to do. You really need to get a serious job. You know the voices, I'm sure you do. So there you have that. So you've got to find the middle road, right? Where you balance the two and you're adaptable and flexible based on the energy of the day. So hopefully that's helpful. Debbie says lots of buffering today. Buffering, that's a good word, Debbie. I like that. So any other questions? Kamal, hello there. JLo says my 12th, a bit in my first for Gemini, then Aquarius in the 8th. Oh, so Salacia. We haven't really worked with Salacia. I still have not had the time to really delve into all of the goddesses. I was going to, God, did I dream this? I'll have to come back to this thought that I just had about a goddess. And now I don't remember if I dreamed this or if there was something in my real world life that that I read or heard. Holy cow. And it's totally gone. So I'll bring it back another day. But anybody else feeling like that though? Sometimes like, I'm not sure, did I dream that or was that real? There's like sometimes that feeling of like unreality where I'm not really sure, was I in virtual reality there or was I in real reality there? And that was just a moment of that. So, alrighty. Well, let's go into the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day while we are on the topic of listening, because today is five listening. Five, the energy or the opportunity to change. And listening in the Mayan calendar was Akbal. It represented the dark, right? The night, the void, the feminine energy of coming inward and into the quiet or into the dark. Now, for those of you who are new to us, the Pleiadian Earth energy is made up of two components, a number, which represents the universal energies of the day, all life forms in all places in the universe resonating with the same energy, and the Earth energy of the day represented by a word, in this case, listening, which in the Mayan calendar was Akbal. And that tells us what it is that we're working with here, specifically all life forms on this planet. And we bring the two of them together to get an idea of what kind of energy the day presents us with. And it shows us the spiral of consciousness, right? How are we evolving? And every week is based on a 13-day week, very sacred, and really represents our completion of something and the jump to the next level, the completion of that level, and then the jump to the next level, and on throughout the calendar. In fact, it's based on a calendar by the Pleiadians, channeled by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith. It is called this one's the 2020 Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar. And when you open it up, and I know some of you have already heard this, here's August's beautiful picture. It's choosing energy, and that comes from later in the month when we get to choosing right here on the 13th. And in the meantime, here we are today. This is August 4th. You see the Gregorian calendar is limited to just the little top corner. That just orients us to the space and time that we are in. And now we get to orient ourselves to our spiritual path, where we are in the spiritual plane of things, and that is in five listening. So we are oriented then in space, time, and spirit, and into divine timing when we are working with this calendar. And now let's talk about it, listening, or let's talk about the five first, the opportunity to change. You know, this is about our ability to change our path. to adjust our intentions to be more in alignment with where we want to go or who we want to be. This is where we experience our own true power, because your own true power lies in the power of choice, right? The power of choice to be able to be flexible, to be able to be adaptable. Where did we hear these words already here today? And in order to really know that in every moment, you are making a choice, every moment. And even when you think you haven't made a choice, you've made the choice. Maybe the choice was to wait. Maybe the choice was to be patient. Maybe the choice was to wait for another day, wait for another sign. So in every moment, we are making choices. That is where your true power lies. That is what they mean by free will, right? Free will to make a choice. Now, you can be you can make the choice to be flexible and adaptable and go with the flow, or you can choose to dig your heels in and hold yourself back, to stick with only one course of doing things, to, you know, keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. Or you can reimagine, right? You can reimagine the unimaginable, right? What if we could imagine? It's funny because yesterday on my way home from the grocery store, the song Imagine by John Lennon came on. And I almost had tears just listening to the words of that song. Imagine a heaven on earth, right? Imagine what we could create if we came together with a mind that wanted to create it, with the will to create it, rather than this chaos and this extremeness that we've been involved with. What if we could imagine a world of peace, right? A world of prosperity, a world of equality. We could do this, right? So we can imagine or reimagine the unimaginable when we have a 5-day. And I mean, today's the day where that's the focus, but we can do this on any given day. Now, listening energy really takes us into deep listening. It is not just the ears I'm talking about. It is when we're listening with our whole body, with our whole spirit, with our whole attention on either something that's coming up for us individually. Maybe it's from the voice of spirit or the voice of a loved one that's telling you about something, and we are needing to listen, and you cannot listen with your mouth open. You cannot listen while talking. So listening, it might lead you to new insights for yourself or for others. It may reveal secrets, something to, you know, that you wake up to and you're like, whoa, I never heard that before. It can be about slowing down to take the time to reconnect with the universe. Akbal and the energy of listening is going into the dark, going into the inner, going into the space of no space and the time of no time. Being in the silence, right, to where we can integrate everything we're learning, everything we've learned, where we can contemplate, where we can hear the voice of spirit or our inner voice telling us what comes next, what to do next. We are slowing down to reconnect, by the way, to bring spirit into form, right? Bringing it into form. That's what humanity can do so well, right? It's what I think it's been lost upon us, how quickly we can bring the divine into the physical, right? That a day like today, from that still point, from that stillness, find the inner space within. It's a place of high integrity. It's a place of your spiritual compass. Take action from that place, right? Take action from, seek your answers from the heart, right? The inner space here, the heart. Seeking wisdom and going through that wisdom from a space of integrity. And that is really through listening energy. Listening. Now that becomes even more pronounced tomorrow as the Human Design Week shifts tomorrow and we move into the gate 13 at the Earth of listening. And I believe that's the way it's working out. Yep, it'll be the Earth at listening. And let's see, we have a little bit of time, so I'm going to go and bring out our wisdom faces. And even though it's a day ahead of time, I think it would be, let me see what that face looks like, number 13. I think it might be good for us to set the stage a little early this time by looking at the face of listening. What does that mean? especially in the gene keys, because of course, you know, that's holographic and it means it's dimensional. We're looking at it through different dimensions, through the gift, through the shadow, and through the siddhi, the highest expression of it. All right. So I've got an idea of what that face looks like. Let's see if I can find her in here. And oh, I like her forehead. So you guys are going to like this card. Now I have all these cards to go through. So bear with me here while I do that. I should have thought of this earlier today. By the way, these are cards that are from the Wisdom Oracle, the Wisdom Keeper's Guidebook, right, by Rosie Aronson. And I just recommend these books are great guides because these people speak to you about truth, right? These are faces of truth. And in the gene keys are always about what is the real truth? What is really going on here? And there she is. The gift in this one is discernment. I like discernment. And I'll show you her picture here in just a moment. Let me get these cards out of the way before I spill them everywhere. So here's our woman, right? Our card of discernment. Look at her face. Just look at her face. Now, let's read the story and see what the story has to do with listening. So the gift is, the shadow is discord. The gift is discernment. And the highest expression, the siddhi, is empathy. And it says, discernment begins at an individual level as you come to see how deeply your view of others is connected to your feelings. Over time, you reclaim the ability to listen to others and the world from a broader perspective. Here's the wisdom story. I grew up in a fundamentalist household to parents who were narrow-minded, opinionated, and reactive. If I expressed something that didn't fit with their beliefs or was too optimistic, they beat me down with words or a belt. They were always in the right, and I was always in the wrong. To survive their anger, bitterness, and pessimism, I turned into water. I became soft, compliant, and forever yielding. I sacrificed my backbone in order to stay safe and got so good at pretending to be sweet and kind that I forgot I was pretending. As I entered womanhood, I became a permissive carpet, allowing others to walk all over me. And even though I had strong beliefs inside, I never stood up for what I believed in. I repeated this pattern, falling into one abusive relationship after another. All of my decisions were fueled by a desire for safety, even though I was rarely safe, and I was often surrounded by discord. I refused to do what I knew had to be done. Until the day I saw my husband touching my daughter inappropriately, that was it. I could no longer deny my feelings or refuse to act. The moment I was forced to listen to the rage, pain, and utter hopelessness that had been living inside of me was the moment my true heroic life began. Now I watch the human drama playing out all around me with empathy, compassion, and optimism. I write myths and children's books that acknowledge the mythical journey that is the human life. All true heroes and heroines go through dark nights of the soul. Transformation and redemption are inevitable when we are willing to wake up, discern, and truly listen. My gift to you, I am here to wake you up. Where are you repeating the same mistakes? Where are you refusing to listen and accept the consequences of your heart's truth? You will be surprised at how courageous you are once you begin to be honest with yourself. It is time to start listening to yourself and to others. Learn the art of discernment. Listen beneath the words. Listen for the deeper desires, the emotional agenda, and the underlying tone. Listen beyond your own individual story. There is a grand mythic human drama playing out in your life and all around you. We are all a part of it. We all have our version of the underworld. We all carry the wand of a wizard, the sword of a warrior, and the potential for a happy ending. As you begin to see the mythic quality of your own rich human life, your optimism will grow right along with your empathy, compassion, and heroic potential. You are not alone. I am here. Questions for contemplation. This ought to be a good one. Where are you trapped in a self-destructive cycle? Where are you starving for empathy from yourself or others? Discern the ways that your experience of the world around you is colored by your mental and emotional states. How can you be more empathic toward yourself and others in your everyday life? Is there a myth you resonate with at a deep level, one that reflects your family or cultural story? If you were to write your own myth, what would it be about? Who would be the protagonist? Write a simple myth in your journal. Let the story impact your life. Wow, really cool. So that begins actually with the Earth at the Gate 13 tomorrow, which is also a cross-quarter day, if you will, the turning of the seasons in human design. We go through the same levels that you could think of as a plant. So the first is the seeding, and then we have the germinating, and then we have the blossoming, and then we have the harvest. And that takes us through the four quarters of the year. So August 5th, tomorrow, is the turning of that seasonal time where we begin to reap the benefits of what we have sown through the year. And that begins with listening. And also the sun will be at the gate 7, which is a gate of leadership. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. In the meantime, I'm going to go back, see if anybody has questions, comments. J-Lo says, ironic. I was using today's energy. I'm not sure. Maybe I missed something there, J-Lo. Thank you, sweetheart. Please take a moment and hit the like button. Show some love. I love it. Thank you so much. Hitting the thumbs up button in the metrics at YouTube means something. If you have not yet subscribed, please do that. Share with your friends, with your networks, your social media. That helps us spread this word and create a bigger community for us. J-Lo, really odd. Two of my daughters and me had some weird dreams and we were in each other's dreams. Interesting. I shared this with Londa, one of my best friends out here in the area that I live in, that I had a dream about her the other night. And it was so, so powerfully weird. We were both trying to take down Big Pharma. That was our intention. And we were in this big building, like a laboratory, right? And we needed something, a tool, I don't know what it was exactly, because I don't remember, in order to change the course or the direction of where this pharmaceutical company was going. Now, for whatever reason, I was anchored to the building. I couldn't leave it, but she could. And she was out on this dock, because the building sat on the water. And I told her, get in the boat. And she was afraid. She was afraid to get in the boat. And I said, you could do this. I'm here for you. You got this. She gets in the boat. She goes across the lake to another island. And it's getting dark. And I go, oh my gosh, I don't have a flashlight. How in the world is she going to come back here? Suddenly my family shows up. They have flashlights and they come out onto the dock where I am. And so Londa is able to see the light to come back. And she comes back with the tool that we needed to take down Big Pharma. Too funny, right? It was an odd dream. Very odd, very symbolic. I mean, lots of things I think that we could take away from that. So, you know, your dreams really do tell a tale of what's going on in your unconscious mind. The people that come into the dream are really symbolic. They're holding some kind of symbol for you. What does that represent for you? Go through the process of breaking it down. It was a pretty detailed dream. Because a lot of my dreams in the recent past have been sort of murky, hard to see, you know, the details of. But definitely, you know, this one was very detailed. I got to see what was going on, even though I don't know what the tool was that we were bringing back to take down Big Pharma. But there it was. Big Pharma. Too funny. All right, guys. So take a moment and breathe. Listen deeply today. And I will see you all tomorrow as we talk about another day. We'll look into Pisces energy, I think, tomorrow, as well as take up maybe some more of the listening energy. Maybe we'll go into our next authority. We shall see. All right, guys, take care. Have a great day. And I will see you tomorrow.